You're back with Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Recently, a teacher in Denver who works with dyslexic children saw a film about dyslexia, and she thought it told the story of dyslexia better than anything she's ever come across. The teacher is Ellen Steinberg, who's also a past president of the local chapter of the International Dyslexia Association. The documentary is called The Big Picture, Rethinking Dyslexia. Steinberg was so impressed with it that she convinced HBO to let her screen the film in a local theater this weekend. Ellen Steinberg joined the filmmaker Jamie Redford with CPR's Andrea Dukakis.
Jamie, Ellen, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Andrea.
My pleasure.
Jamie, you're the filmmaker, and you've had a lot of personal experience with dyslexia. Your son, Dylan, who we get to know in the film, he's now in college, has dyslexia. And I just wanted to get a sense when you first realized something wasn't quite right.
Well, for me, it was first grade, really. The minute they started to get into more of the nuts and bolts of reading and writing and the early arithmetic, pretty much the minute mechanics came into play, the red flags started to go up. Did that mean we immediately suspected dyslexia? No. We did not have quick access to that as a possible diagnosis. It just wasn't that common in sort of the average person's vocabulary. And it took a few years for us to figure out it was dyslexia.
You yourself aren't in the film, but your wife, Kyle, who's a teacher where you live in Marin County, California, she plays a prominent role in the film. And she describes how, in first grade, she wanted to have Dylan tested, but she was told that was just too early.
Yes, I think that was a common misunderstanding 10 years ago. These days, it's pretty common knowledge that the earlier, the better in terms of diagnosis.
And I'm going to bring Ellen Steinberg in. She's a learning specialist in Denver. And Ellen, I think sometimes we lump dyslexia into this general category of learning challenges. And I wanted to see if you could explain in a nutshell what dyslexia is.
Dyslexia is a language-based learning disability, and really how we as parents see it. I, too, have a child who was identified in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And how we as parents see it is our kids just can't read. How it looks in more detail is that there's an issue around the ability to hear the individual speech sounds, that phonological awareness. It can come about in spelling. You can see it in handwriting and in physical writing. And often one of the early warning signs is those kids that have that funny language, like those Bischetti kids.
Mm-hmm,
when
mm-hmm.
you hear that sequencing of sounds, the order of sounds out of whack, that can be an identifier, an early warning sign that you're looking at a learning challenge, learning disability called dyslexia.
Jamie, early in the film, your son Dylan talks about what it was like for him in school. And he describes one day where he's asked to read out loud to a group of young kids. He's reading Dr. Seuss, A Cat in the Hat, and he's surrounded by these little kids staring up at him.
And I started, and then right off the bat, I was stuttering and misplacing words, and it was so bad. And I, like, halfway through, the kindergartners were starting to correct me. I remember being probably as nervous as I had been at that point in my life.
Ellen, you work with a lot of children like Dylan. Is this kind of humiliation, that feeling of being singled out, feeling different, is that something you hear from other kids you work with?
Well, if you talk to kids with dyslexia, the number one thing they don't want to be is called on to read out loud. I mean, imagine what it's like for you to do something you know you're going to fail at. You know you're going to look bad. You know you can't do successfully.
And I wonder if that also hinders their confidence in school and their ability to, think that they can do well in something.
I think that that's true. And I think if you talk to a lot of dyslexic adults, you'll find out that there's this ongoing sense of shame that somebody's going to find out that we're really not as smart or as good as or as competent as we might appear currently.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with filmmaker Jamie Redford and learning specialist Ellen Steinberg of Denver about the film The Big Picture, Overcoming Dyslexia. And Jamie, along with Dylan, the film also profiles other people with dyslexia. There's a young woman named Allison. She ends up at grad school at Columbia University in New York. But like Dylan, she struggles a lot as she's growing up. She talks in the film about how she was tested for learning issues when she was in elementary school.
When I was in fifth grade, I had just come back from one of these evaluations, and I happened to pick up the phone when you're not supposed to pick up the phone. And the person who had diagnosed me was talking to both my parents and said, you know, Allison's never going to be good with geography. She's never going to be good with language. These are things that she's just not going to be able to do. You know, I'll never forget, I hung up the phone and immediately got into bed. And, you know, I'm pretty sure I, as a fourth grader or fifth grader would do, cried myself to sleep.
Jamie, this is sort of this double whammy for these kids. First, they have these real struggles, and that's compounded by hearing negative comments either from other kids or from their teachers. How was Dylan able to transcend some of these challenges?
The thing to understand about Dylan is that he was born with a unique gift of sort of being somewhat extroverted and also comfortable advocating for himself. That was in his nature right from the get-go, the minute he started to step into the world. So he had a unique advantage, I think, in that he was predisposed to be comfortable asking for what he needed and being very upfront about what his own reality is.
I should say he's incredibly articulate, too, in the film.
I think he's come to understand that the fact that he is so articulate is a gift. But that's, I think, not all dyslexics have that advantage. Some do. Gavin Newsom is very articulate, and he's in our movie.
Gavin Newsom, he is the lieutenant governor of California.
Yes. And, you know, so what you find with many dyslexics, they aren't very articulate, or speech is a problem, or they have difficulty advocating. So that very often is something that children really have to work towards.
Jamie is really speaking the truth, because I think that there's as broad a range of kids with that are able to advocate as there are that aren't. And I think that one of the things that's so critical for parents and educators is to play to children's strengths, because every child has a magnificent strength, something that they can go, wow, you know, I may not be the best reader, but I'm the best, you know, person who can draw cartoons, or I'm a great soccer player, or I love science. And if we can express that to our kids and they can get that, what they've learned up front will propel them into success in the future.
And Ellen, you know, we hear a lot about learning issues and dyslexia. What was it about this particular film that struck you so much that you ended up organizing a screening in Denver?
Well, I mean, for me, it was when I first saw that there was a voice speaking for individuals with dyslexia at the Sundance Film Festival, it was like, we got to do something about this.
And this played at the Sundance Film Festival.
Because it played at Sundance, that was when I started pressing to get the film in Denver. Because the more people you give the word, you share the information, the more you can create change for our kids.
Jamie, I noticed the people you interviewed in the film were those who seem to have transcended these challenges. We hear from a long line of successful people with dyslexia, businessman Charles Schwab, there's British entrepreneur Sir Richard Branson, California Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom. And here's Newsom talking about his experience.
One of the things you'll learn is being dyslexic is you got to learn to suck it up, because you're going to fail, and you're going to fail often, and you've got to start to appreciate that, as they say, that failures are a portal of discovery, mistakes are a portal of discovery. The most successful people I know are the ones that screwed up the most, learned from their mistakes, and moved forward and got up.
I wonder, Jamie, if you risk giving parents a distorted view of what happens when a person has dyslexia. Surely not everyone ends up like Charles Schwab.
Yes. Well, I would argue that the trouble with learning, with reading, and the time it takes for most dyslexics to read and to process language should not limit them in terms of what they think is possible. Sure, if you want to be a lawyer, you may end up having to take a lot more time reading. But there's no reason, if you're passionate about it, that you can't persevere past that challenge. And as far as setting unrealistic expectations, that's a concern lower down the hierarchy of needs ladder. Right now, we're just trying to get a baseline awareness out there. And right now, there are so many families hurting and so many children hurting in terms of what their self-esteem issues are, in terms of what they think is possible. This movie has been made to act as a salve to children and families to make them understand that it's not an academic death sentence.
You know, there are a lot of parents with kids with other learning issues. We've talked a lot about dyslexia, but, you know, for a child with a math disability or problems organizing, are there tools that can help them as well?
So there are related disabilities to dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and it's a different part of the brain doing the work. So when we know how to teach those kids with structured, systematic instruction, we can gain those skills. Although, I mean, I still can't do my times tables.
And it's sort of like school wants you to be good in everything, and that's not necessarily how careers work out. You don't necessarily have to be great in everything to go into a career.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting to look at this, you know, learning differences, brains that process information differently. Clearly, it's a difficult thing. It's a very painful thing for children. But when we talk about the potential gifts, we don't want to overblow it because it might diminish the fact that it can be very hard. However, you know, as we move into the 21st century and a lot of the mechanical aspects of writing, of processing numbers and letters is increasingly moving onto our computers, onto our software. Well, what's left for us as humans? And I would say it's our ability to come up with original ideas, to think of new and interesting ways to convey a new thought, a new product, a new way of doing something, a better way of doing something. And those are skills that dyslexics do not struggle with. And in fact, you know, if you really look at it, one could argue that dyslexics have a statistical advantage in terms of being able to think outside the box. So we may be seeing a way of thinking that, you know, it's going to become increasingly prized as we move away from sort of the mechanical aspect of how the human brain works.
Jamie, Ellen, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Andrea.
Thank you.
Jamie Redford is a filmmaker who lives in California. Ellen Steinberg is a literacy, reading, and dyslexia specialist in Denver. They spoke with CPR's Andrea Dukakis. The Big Picture, Rethinking Dyslexia, screens tomorrow morning at 10 at the Regal Continental Stadium Theater in Denver. It's also airing throughout the month on HBO. I'm Ryan Warner at Colorado Public Radio.